Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Purim. Purim Sameach, everybody. This week, Rabbi Tzvi Grumet discusses Purim. Rabbi Tzvi Grumet is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Tzvi Grumet.
The story of Purim is well known. Haman, the evil, wants to destroy the Jewish people because Mordechai refuses to bow down to him. Comes to the king, asks permission. After gaining the king's trust, he gets the king's signet ring and sends out a message across the kingdom, 127 provinces, to gather together and to destroy the Jewish people. Mordechai, together with Esther, concoct a plan. Haman's evil intentions are revealed. Haman is hanged on the tree that he has prepared for Mordechai, and at that point, the story should end. But it does not. Esther comes back to the king and says, Haman's decree still stands. I would like permission to undo the decree. The king is faced with a problem. You cannot undo a decree that is signed and sealed with the king's signet ring. Esther and Mordechai ask the king, well, if we cannot undo the decree, we'd like to issue a counter-decree. The counter-decree gives permission to the Jewish people to defend themselves. The king issues the decree, signed and sealed with the king's ring, and the Jews rejoice. I'd like to ask a very simple question. What would have happened had the king not have given his permission to Mordechai and Esther to have the Jews defend themselves? Would the Jews simply have sat there and allowed themselves to be slaughtered? What great advantage is there in having a decree from the king that allows the Jews to defend themselves? I'd like to suggest that the answer to this question lay in one single word. When Esther presents her plan to the king, she asks permission not just for the Jews to defend themselves, but for the Jews to gather together, to band together as a community. Lehi kahel v'la amod al nafsham. Lehi kahel means to gather together as a kahal, as a community. Chapter 8, verse 11. The king granted permission at Shanatan Hamelech Yehudim, Asher Bechol Ir Va'ir, granting permission to the Jews in every city, Lehi Kahel, to gather together, to band together, Vola Amod Al Nafsham. In fact, this is exactly what happens. When we read the story as it unfolds in front of us, we are told in Chapter 9, Pasuk 2, Nikhalu ha-Yehudim ba'arehem. The Jews, in fact, did gather together. They did band together as a community. We find it later on again, in chapter 9, Pasuk 15. Vayikahalu ha-Yehudim asher b'Shushan. The Jews in Shushan also gathered together. And finally, in verse 18, once again, Vayudim asher b'Shushan nikhalu, they gathered together. They banded together. Turns out that if we were to take a look earlier in the Megillah, we would see that there's a hint to this notion, even in Haman's evil decree. As Haman turns to the king and asks permission to destroy the Jewish people, he describes his people without actually naming them. And when he describes them as a nation that is Mufuzar Umeforad Bein Ha'amim. Chapter 3, verse 8. There is a single nation, Yeshno Amechad, there is one nation, but it is Mifuzar Umiforad Bein Ha'amim. It is scattered. It is separated. They are not unified. That is how Haman presents the Jewish people. And it turns out that it could be that one of the problems that existed within the Jewish people that may have precipitated Haman's decree was the fact that the Jews were not united. What is the response to that? What is the tikkun? How does the Jewish people fix itself? It fixes itself when Esther and Mordechai grant permission with a king's signet ring for the Jews to gather together as communities. They need to build themselves together as communities. Esther herself had to discover this. When Mordechai first comes to Esther and lets her know that there is a problem, that the king has issued this decree and says you must go to the king and beseech him, Esther says, no, I can't. I can't do that because everybody knows that it is too dangerous. At which point Mordechai offers a very brief but very powerful speech, turns to Esther in chapter 4, verse 13. And he says, Al tidami v'nafshech lihimaleit beit hamelech mikol hayehudim. Don't think that you, amongst all the other Jews, can run and hide in the house of the king. Kim hachareish tacharishi ba'et hazot, for if you are to keep your mouth closed at this time, revach v'hatzala la'amod la'yehudim imakom acher, God will find, or some other force will find the ability to save the people. But at uveit avich tovedu, you and your entire household will be completely lost. Umi yodea, and who knows, perhaps la'et kazot higa'at la'malchut, maybe it was for this purpose and for this moment that you were placed onto the throne in the first place. The message that Mordechai sends to Esther is a very simple one. Jews remaining separate and caring about themselves is a recipe for disaster, for themselves, and perhaps for the rest of the Jewish people as well. Jews need to take responsibility one for the other, lihi kahel, to band together as a community. And that is where the salvation of the Jewish people is going to come. Esther understands that. Esther learns that message. And in fact, that message emerges later on in the Megillah as well. After the battles, after the attacks on the Jews and the Jews defending themselves, the Jews in different places decree for themselves a day of celebration. That day of celebration undergoes a series of transformations. In the initial celebration, after the battle, they had a day of mishte v'simcha, a day of parties revolving around drink and simcha and joy. In chapter 9, Pasuk 17, we read that on the 13th day of Adar, they fought, and on the 14th day they rested, and they made it a day of mishte v'simcha. In Shushan, they fought on the 13th day and on the 14th day, but on the 15th day they rested, and they made that day for themselves a day of mishte v'simcha. That was the initial reaction that the Jewish people had to their victory. But as the Jewish people for themselves established this day, they decided to add another element. And the second element that they added was the element of mishloach manot ish l're'ehu, of sending gifts one to the next. Thus we read in chapter 9, Pasuk 19, that's why, for all future times, the Jews established for themselves a day of simcha, umishte, v'yom tov, a day of joy, a day of happiness, a day of mishte, of parties revolving around drink, umishloach manot ish l're'ehu, sending gifts of food, one to his friend. They understood that their salvation came about because they became a community, because they stopped acting as an am mifuzar umifurad, as a nation that is separated and divided against itself. And to commemorate that, they said we must reach out beyond ourselves. We have to extend our circles. It turns out that in the next stage of development, Mordechai and Esther determined that there is going to be a holiday. And when they determine the holiday, they add one additional layer. This additional layer is the mitzvah of matanot le'evyonim, giving gifts of money to the poor. Thus we read in chapter 9, pasuk 22, that Mordechai decreed the days to be mishte v'simcha, days of joy and parties revolving around drinks, umishloach manot ish l're'ehu, sending gifts of food, one friend to another, which is what the people themselves had decided on, and now he adds, umatanot le'evyonim. Our sense of community must extend beyond those people that we consider our close friends. It must extend to those with whom we have very little in common, those who we often walk by in the street and don't see, those to whom we don't pay attention, those who are invisible, the evyonim, the poor, the destitute. And thus building the Jewish community in Mordechai's eyes means going beyond the people that are part of your inner circle and extending yourself to those who are beyond. It turns out that when the rabbis come and establish Purim as a holiday, they add another two mitzvot. Mitzvot that may very well have their origins in the Megillah itself. One of those is the mitzvah to have a festive meal. Thus we heard in the Megillah multiple times that they have a mishte, a party revolving around drink that the rabbis established as the mitzvah of Seudat Purim, the mitzvah of having a festive meal. And when we think about it, What has just happened is that what the rabbis have done is they've created an inner core to those concentric circles of community. The inner core are the people that we invite to our table. Those are our closest friends. Those are the ones who we bring into our house. The second layer are the people that we do not necessarily invite to our table, and yet we want to somehow or another include in our festive meal. So we take part of that festive meal and we share it with them. Mishloach manot ish l're'ehu. We take some of the food from our meal, from our su'udat purim, and we send it to our friends who cannot be part of our meal, and they do the same. So that we don't have festive meals happening inside people's homes behind closed doors. We have festive meals overlapping, different families, different groups, overlapping with other groups, sharing their meals. And all the meals of Am Yisrael become interconnected into one big meal without having to bring everybody to a large hall. Then comes the third layer. The third layer are those people that we don't necessarily see. The people that we don't even know exist, the people who might not have a festive meal at all. And to those people, we make sure that we reach out and give them money so that they can purchase their own festive meal. In fact, some halachic authorities suggest that the amount of money to give for matanot le'evyonim is the cost of the meal, that they should be able to go out and purchase a meal for themselves. It turns out, though, that there is an additional layer of the mitzvah of Purim. And that additional layer is the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. Now, truth be told, one can fulfill the mitzvah technically by sitting in one's house and reading the Megillah to themselves. And yet, the formulation of the mitzvah is that it is a mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa, a mitzvah of publicizing the miracle. And so, we gather together as communities, large communities, including children who normally we do not necessarily bring to shul. We come together as communities in a raucous and joyous event filled with interruptions and noise for the reading of the Megillah, the public reading of the Megillah. The doors to our synagogues, to our shuls, are open wide, and everybody, rich and poor, young and old, visible and invisible, maybe even including the people who we don't even see when it comes time to giving alms to the poor, they come into our communities as well for the public reading of the Megillah. And thus, Megillat Esther and Purim, as fixed by the rabbinic authorities, has built into it multiple layers of community. The people sitting at our meal, the people with whom we share our meal and extend our meals beyond our own homes, the people with whom we allow to have their own meals, and the people in the broader community who we bring in so that everybody can be part of the miracle. Purim is a holiday that celebrates the unity of the Jewish people. Mordechai and Esther understood that the lack of unity of the Jewish people will bring about only problems, only threats. The unity of the Jewish people is where our salvation comes from. It is fascinating that Rambam, Maimonides, as he codifies the laws of Purim, codifies the relationship between our su'uda, our mishloach manot, and our matanot le'evyonim. Thus the Rambam in the Laws of Purim, chapter 2, Halacha 17, writes, Mutav la'adam laharbot b'matanot evyonim, mi laharbot b'su'udato, uvishloach manot le'av. It is better that a person be generous in his gifts to the poor than in his meal and the gifts that he sends to his friends. She'ein sham simcha gedola u'meforara. There is no greater joy, ela l'sameach lev aniyim v'yetomim v'almanot. There is no greater joy than to bring joy to the poor, to the orphan, to the widow, to the stranger. Shamasameach lev ha'um lalim ha'elu dome lashchina. For somebody who brings happiness to those unfortunate ones is compared to the divine. Let us hope that this Purim, Jews can band together, break down the walls that separate between us, reach out, have our joy extend beyond ourselves and bring in lots and lots of layers of the Jewish community. Purim Sameach.
Thank you, Rabbi Grumet. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.